The Pat Kenny Show
with Timber Living Log Cabins.
Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.
Welcome back to the Quayside in New Ross. We are here because this is the location of the JFK Summer School. Now, the dilemma for Democrats in the November midterms was whether to embrace the public mood for reform in Washington and back the Democratic Socialists, labelled commies by Trump and his pals, or play it safe with middle-of-the-road candidates, or perhaps the third way of selecting bespoke candidates in every congressional district or state, depending on the demographic breakdown. Well, the primary season is well underway and ends on September the 15th. So how is it looking? We're joined here in New Ross by someone familiar to fans of the Situation Room with Wolf Blitzer on CNN. She's a longtime strategist for the Democratic Party, having worked with both Presidents Obama and Biden, as well as presidential candidate Hillary Clinton. And she's been keeping a close eye on the unfolding races. Maria Cardoni, you're very welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, Pat. It's such a pleasure to be here with you today.
Now tell me, which of the ways, or is it the third way?
Well, Pat, that's such a great question because it's a little bit of everything that you just mentioned. But what I would love to make clear to your listeners is that what voters in the United States right now are looking for in their candidates, in their leaders, is someone who's going to fight for them. They don't care about labels. They don't care whether you call yourself a Democratic Socialist of America. They don't care whether you call yourself a moderate or a centrist. What they care about is what you're going to do for them. There are so many families in America right now, Pat, that are hurting. They wake up in cold sweats at night because they don't know how they're going to make ends meet. And I got to tell you,
and sometimes these are people with two and three jobs.
Yes, exactly. And a lot of times, Pat, these are people who voted for Donald Trump and Republicans in 2024 because they believed them when they promised that they were going to bring down prices on day one and focus on inflation.
When you look at the different polling issues, whether it's the war in Iran, whether it's the economy, whether it's immigration has slipped right down towards the bottom of the chart for most people. It's cost of living seems to be preoccupying everybody. Can you capture for us? I mean, it's okay saying it's a struggle maybe to go to the grocery store and get the usual basket full of groceries. But can you capture that for us in a real way? I mean, what is a mother sacrificing in order to feed her children?
It is a real issue, Pat, and especially because there have been so many programs that not just low-income families counted on, Pat, but as you suggested, single moms, single dads, people in middle-income families. The bill that Republicans passed last year that they love to call the Big Beautiful Bill, we like to call it the Big Horrible Bill, stripped health care from hundreds of thousands of Americans across the board.
Now, is that only happening after the midterms have happened, or is it already biting?
Well, it's already biting, and let me tell you why. Because another thing that Republicans did, if you recall the shutdown issues and you know, that whole dilemma, is because Republicans refused to extend what we call the Obamacare subsidies, which is what allowed so many middle-income American families to be able to afford health care under the Affordable Care Act. Republicans refused to extend that, which means that so many middle-class families cannot afford their health care. That's a huge issue when it comes to trying to make ends meet. As you know, Pat, health care, if you can't afford your health care, then it's something that you're going to wake up at night very worried about.
Now, when Trump talks about they're trying to turn it into a socialist country, and then when that didn't really work, he started to talk about communism, you know, reds under the bed, that kind of thing. But do ordinary Americans understand that socialism is a word that we use quite freely here? Socialized medicine, you know, there is free health care for all, even though some of us, many of us, have insurance as well, which helps us maybe to get slightly better care or jump a queue or whatever. That's the reality here in Ireland.
Right.
But all over Europe, there is socialized health care. And it beggars belief that the wealthiest country in the world does not give its citizens free education and free health care.
It's an embarrassment, Pat, because healthcare should be a right, not a privilege for higher income Americans. And I'll tell you, I don't think even Donald Trump understands the definition of socialism, communism. He uses them both as they were interchangeable. But what he is trying to do is inject fear into the electorate. Why is he doing that, Pat? Because he sees the polling numbers. He sees that Republicans going into the midterm elections have horrific approval ratings, and that Democrats are most likely going to take over the House of Representatives and maybe even the Senate.
There is one thing you can say about Trump, certainly in the run-up to the 2020 election, and that is that the Republican Party was the Trump Party. It was unified behind one figure and one set of policies, by and large, even though they turned out to be lies in many cases. You know, no more wars, da-da-da.
Right.
The Democrats are disparate. And that's a problem when you've got, you know, the AOC, Bernie Sanders, the Democratic Socialist wing, which would include the brilliant mayor of New York. That's one crowd. Then there's the people who are conservative Democrats, who are more traditional, who don't want to rock any particular boat. So how do they unify behind a candidate or a set of policies in time for the midterms? Because they're looming quickly.
Well, I love that question, Pat, because I don't think we need to unify under one candidate before the midterms. Why is that? Because the midterm elections, by definition, are going to be made up of many Democratic leaders and candidates, because you have the whole House of Representatives, 435 candidates are on the ballot, right? Every 2 years, as you know.
Yeah.
A third of the Senate is up for reelection. There is no presidential election in November. What does that mean? That Democrats are going to have many leaders that are going to span the political spectrum from Democratic Socialists of America to some of the most moderate conservative Democrats. And that's fine, because somebody like Mandani, who got elected in New York, would never be able to be elected in Iowa or in Wisconsin.
So,
and that's okay.
It's bespoke candidates,
yeah,
depending
right,
on the,
exactly.
The,
everyone,
the district or state.
Exactly. Everyone is going to be speaking to the needs and the problems of their districts, of their voters. And that is as it should be. And that's why Democrats are winning elections, Pat. You know that Democrats have been winning or overperforming in over 90% of the elections that have taken place since Donald Trump took office.
Now, tell me about some of the candidates that we keep an eye on. Obviously, Abdul al-Sayed, who was elected. And, you know, with a name like that, first of all, and then, of course, you can remember Barack Hussein Obama and what they tried to do with his name.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't seem to be a factor.
Right.
Because the America is made up of so many different races and different ethnicities.
That's
and
right.
different names.
That's exactly
Does that
right.
not matter anymore, or can it be twisted?
It matters less and less, and there are several reasons why. And you hit upon one of the most important ones. America is one of the most diverse countries in the world. Donald Trump has tried to weaponize that, to use it against the political atmosphere, trying to inject fear in white working class Americans who are afraid of that kind of diversity, thinking they're being taken over. And Donald Trump has used that very effectively. But now that even Donald Trump's own base voters, low-income white working class Americans, are looking at what the reality is, and they're saying, Donald Trump promised me that he was going to make my economy easier, that he was going to bring down costs, bring down inflation. And instead, what's happened? He's making billions off of the White House. He is selling the White House to the highest bidder, and his own voters are starting to realize.
Do they know that? I'm wondering, do they?
They are starting to know that, Pat. If you look at the polls, he is losing, he's losing his own supporters. White working class Americans, married women who were a huge cohort of Donald Trump, he is losing support among them because they are realizing that he has betrayed them, and that what he promised them in the 2024 election, lower inflation, lower costs, no more foreign wars, he's done exactly the opposite while he is making billions for himself and his family.
Now, in the popular vote in 2020, this is just off the top of my head. Mm-hmm. I think Trump got 69 million votes and Kamala Harris 67. It was okay. He won the popular vote.
Right.
No argument about that. And he won the Electoral College. Whether or not there was a Musk factor in cheating some of those states, we may never know.
We may never know. Correct.
But anyway, he won hands down. And many of us, even looking at him then, not even experiencing the first couple of years of his second term, we were wondering, how could 69 million Americans be conned by this guy? You know, a felon, a sex offender, God knows what else can be laid at his door. How could so many Americans say yes to him and no to Kamala Harris?
That is the biggest question that Democrats have been asking ourselves ever since he got elected. There's a myriad of reasons why, Pat. First and foremost, it is the economy. And one of the things that Democrats, and I believe the Biden administration, really just fell down on and made a huge mistake, which ironically is similar to what Donald Trump is doing now, is while Biden did a lot to pass policies to help the economy, he never really talked about it. Do you recall how Bill Clinton was so clever in saying, I feel your pain, I know what you're going through? Joe Biden was never really able to do that.
The Democrats shot themselves in the foot, though, because Sleepy Joe was truly sleepy.
Yes.
Even though, I mean, it was a nasty slur from Trump, but at the same time, it was partly true. We were told later on that maybe he was only working half of the day because he wasn't really able for the full day's work. And now we know that cancer was coming to affect him, and there were lots of things. We see Donald Trump asleep in the Oval Office, while people he's supposed to be fans of, like RFK, is making a speech. And right beside him, fast asleep, is Donald Trump.
Right. Now, a little bit of a double standard there.
Oh, well,
right?
that's his middle name, I think. But it's that kind of why he isn't removed. Do you know, if you saw that in any other leader, except in the old Soviet system, where Brezhnev was probably, or Andropov was dead for several days before anyone realized it or was told, you know, in any other modern democracy, a leader such as that would be removed.
There's two reasons for that. The first one is Democrats have no power, which is why we're so excited about the midterm elections, because we do believe that will be the beginning of trying to put some guardrails on the chaos, the craziness and the criminality of Donald Trump's administration. But number two, this has to do with why the tide is turning towards Democrats. Republicans have had zero backbone, no spine, completely cowardly in their lack of being able to stand up to Donald Trump and to say, this is not somebody that represents the Republican Party, and certainly not somebody who should be representing the United States of America.
You'd wonder if only to save their own skins that they wouldn't develop a spine.
You would think, right? And they haven't yet. They have not even done that. But they tell you privately, oh, yes, we're really worried. This guy's nuts. This guy is crazy. Well, then why don't you grow a spine and say so publicly and start advocating for your own voters?
Now, there is a wealth of talent in the Democratic Party. I mean, we see people like Mark Kelly. Already we have John Ossoff, who's running to retain his seat in Georgia.
Yes.
There's the hope that James Tallarico in Texas.
Yes.
These are deeply impressive people.
Yes.
Pete Buttigieg, who probably, as a gay man, can never be president, I would think. Maybe a woman can never be president. Maybe another black person can never be president in the current era.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? But you've got a wealth of talent. And you look on the Republican side, and he plucked all his top dogs from real estate or from Fox News.
Yes, that's right. Which is why we have so much hope, not just for the upcoming midterm elections in November, but for 2028, the presidential elections. You are right. The Democratic Party has a plethora of riches. I think we have phenomenal leaders that are really coming up, a new generation of diverse leaders. I think you're right. The timing right now is challenging for a woman, for a person of color, and possibly even for a gay man. But I'm hoping that soon that will not be the case anymore. And who knows? Maybe the tide will turn even in 2028, Pat, which is why I'm so excited about the incredibly robust primary election that the Democratic Party will have. I think we're going to have more than 20 candidates running for our nomination, and it's going to be fabulous.
I'm looking forward to it. And Maria Cardona, Democratic strategist, and you'll see her regularly on CNN and The Situation Room with Wolf Blitzer. Thank you very much for joining us
here. Thank you so much, Pat. It has been such a pleasure to be here with you. And wonderful, amazing experiences here in Ireland.
The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Timber Living Log Cabins.